The time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become?" For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
No doubt in my mind that one of the most amazing and joyful moments of my life was when I first held my first child. You can imagine, that was a few years back, but I can still recall that moment. And I hear that being a grandfather is even better. Well, not there yet. But isn't it an amazing mystery when, as I experienced, some of us have experienced, some of us many have experienced, holding your child for the first time. And we think about Zechariah in today's gospel, the father of the child who will be John the Baptist, who is John the Baptist. And it's a momentous day in his life, but it's a very interesting day because he can't speak. He hasn't been able to speak from the time the angel Gabriel came to him in the temple and said to him that he was to be the father of a child, that he and his wife Elizabeth, well past the age of childbearing, as she was, would indeed conceive and bear a child. Their prayers were answered. And while that sounds like a wonderful thing, and of course it is, for Zechariah at that moment, it raised doubts and questions. He questioned the angel, and the angel said to him, God said to him through the angel, that he could no longer speak. And that's why it's interesting that we heard in this evening's gospel, it is only when he asks for a writing tablet and writes, "His name is John," we hear, all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Zechariah, doubtless like Elizabeth, was incredibly grateful for the conception and birth of this new baby. But something was going on with him that reflects a wider reality. God was blessing him, but it was not on his terms, not the way he wanted. And we can see that happening in the gospel. He actually has to change to understand and accept God's plans, not just for him, but more importantly for his child. Because the child is not named after him. The child in some ways will not follow in his footsteps. God is going to do something even greater through this child and have him be a dutiful and obedient son of Zechariah. He will be the one who points the way to Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus himself, announcing the coming of Jesus and his kingdom, John the Baptist. And if you think about the great people of the Bible, Israel, who are still with us, they had something absolutely unique, which is that they were God's chosen people. God had made them his own people. They had a covenant relationship with God, and no one else did. And yet their own prophets announced something even greater was going to happen. Isaiah writes in his prophetic book, hundreds of years before the birth of John the Baptist, that it was not enough for God to have this one people as his own, to restore his people who were then in exile. No, he said, I am going to do something even greater. I am going to make you a light for all nations, so that all people may come to know and receive my salvation. And if you think about it, of course that's a great thing. But there was also perhaps a hesitation or a sense of loss. They had to understand, as Zechariah did, that what God had planned for them as a people was not just for them, but was for all people. The child given to Zechariah and Elizabeth was not just for them, but was, in a very unique and special way, for all people, announcing the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus. And I think this experience of Zechariah could reflect our own. You might ask yourself sometimes, what is it that makes us who we are here as a community at Holy Family? Why are we the church? What does that mean? Who are we here for? And I think a natural answer that you may have not have thought about, but it lingers in the back of our minds, in my own mind too, is we're here to keep this going. We need to make sure that what we are doing here, which we know is supremely important, celebrating the Mass and the other sacraments and being God's people, we need to keep it going. And I would like to suggest to you that that is not what God wants for us. Because the problem with that attitude is that it very quickly becomes us focusing on ourselves. Like Israel, which was focused on itself as God's people. Like Zechariah, who had plans for his child. And God says to us, as he did to Israel and to Zechariah, I have greater things in mind for you. And if I were to put it in very simple language, I would say, think of the words of the prophet Isaiah. We're not here for ourselves, but we're here to be a light to others. We're not here to keep this going. We are here to share what we have received with those who have not yet received. Think of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah in particular, whom we're focusing on this evening. In a sense, he had to let go of this child. He was not named after him. He was given a name chosen by his mother, Elizabeth, who accepted the angel's words on faith right away and gives him a name that is not the father's name. Something newer and greater than what they had was going to be brought about by God through them and their cooperation. And I want you to think about the consequences of the attitude that we are here to keep what we have going. I saw a study, and this is just one of those many studies. I don't believe statistics all the time, but it maybe tells us something. Apparently, in Canada, we have the biggest drop of people who identify as religious from those over 50 to those under 50. I'm over 50. So the drop is very dramatic. It's over 25% or something like that. I don't remember the number. The number doesn't matter. Because it's not about numbers or statistics. It's about people. We all know that for many young people, including people in their 20s and 30s, this faith that we celebrate, that we know is the faith God has given us, no longer matters. No longer matters. People of my children's age, or maybe your children's age, or grandchildren, young adults and youth increasingly are walking away because what we have to offer is not something that is any longer meaningful to them. Is it possible that that's because we have in the back of our minds this attitude that we are here to keep what we have going? That's the only reason we're here. And if that's true, maybe we can learn from Zechariah and from Israel and from John the Baptist, who was not about himself. And Zechariah had to learn that. And Israel witnessed that. God brought about a light for other peoples through them. And for those in Israel who said yes to God and his plan, including Zechariah. You know, there's another, you could call it a statistic if you want, but I would call it a reality that I think you know is going on in the lives of many people. Kind of the same thing, seen another way. I would say increasingly, people, young people, kids, youth, young adults, have grown up or are growing up without fathers. Maybe there's a connection between those two things. And it makes me think, because I'm here to learn. I've been learning over the years being a member of this community. What if it is our mission to be like a father for the fatherless? Think about the young people growing up without fathers, maybe the age, or maybe including your grandchildren or children, or even younger. Where are they going to turn? Who will be like a father to them? Where will they find that place where they can belong, be protected, and be lifted up as people of God with the incredible dignity that God has given all his people? What if that was about us? I think some of the things we're trying to do here at Holy Family, which are aimed at being a more welcoming community, aimed outward, not inward, so that we take what we receive, especially here at the Eucharist, which is Jesus himself, and understand we don't receive him just for ourselves, rather to share with others. The people who matter most to this community are the people who are not here yet. We need to take the light that we have received and bring it to the places where there is darkness. And this is very personal to me. I know because my kids have all come through this parish. That's why I came here originally about 8 years ago, because of the youth ministry. And at the youth ministry, they grew up with the father, me, very imperfect as I am. But what they found, what I saw and observed was people who are willing to be like fathers to them, besides me, their human, earthly father, spiritual fathers, men like Sam. Where is he? Oh. It makes a big difference. I can tell you, even if children are growing up with a father, to have other adults, men as well as women in their lives, whom they can look up to in their faith. And we all need that. It's not just for youth. We need to find and continue to create communities in this parish where people can find a home. And I think it really comes down to understanding that all fathers, in fact, all of us, are really just here to reveal to the people in our lives the heart of God the Father. Behind the fatherhood of Zechariah, the fatherhood of Father Gary, who is our pastor, and all of us as a community, is this heart of God the Father, who loves everyone so much that we can't even begin to imagine. What if we understood that this love that we receive and share through our membership in this community is not just for us, but for others, learning from Zechariah. And let me close with the words, you know, we heard with his words, when he writes on the tablet, his name is John, all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he began to speak praising God. The next passage in Luke's gospel, which continues right after the gospel we heard, are the words of Zechariah, a beautiful hymn of praise. Listen to his words as I conclude. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free." He's thanking God for what God has done for him and for his people. But he concludes by saying, "And now the dawn from on high shall break upon us." Who is the dawn from on high? Jesus. "The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace."